Hey, kids, we're a couple of annoying grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons Podcast.
Raise a blade of apathy, shave me with your irony. Shave me! Shave me!
That's right, we're the podcast explorers to the show The Simpsons from seasons 11 and beyond. Why 11 and beyond, you ask? Well, there are plenty of other podcasts to explore The Simpsons and their golden age, seasons 1 through 10, and we want to explore the later seasons, 11 and beyond, to find the gems and to rekindle our passion for this beloved show. I am half an annoyed grunt boy Steve, and I can't do this on my own. So with me, as always, is...
half annoyed grunt boy Craig. Steve, how are we doing? Are you feeling the 90s vibe in you right now?
Yeah.
We're finally doing it. It's our 90th episode.
That's right. We've come a long way, baby.
Most people celebrate their 100th episode. No, that's 10 too many for us.
That's right.
You know, speaking of 90s, and I'm trying to get into the vibe of the 90s, right?
Yeah.
And, just this last weekend, a trailer dropped for their reboot of the Animaniacs.
That's right.
I thought it was great.
It was a great remembrance of like the original show, and they did a parody of Jurassic Park. And it just reminded you of like the way that they're parody other Warner Brothers properties, and like the way that Laura Dern looks, and the way everybody looks. It's just so good.
Well, I think the parody too, because it was Steven Spielberg presents the Animaniacs, which was in the 90s, and even having Steven Spielberg come and just doing literally one of the most biggest 90s Spielberg movies, Jurassic Park. So just everything felt so 90s and on brand. And the trailer, if you guys haven't seen it, we're not playing the trailer because it's visual, making fun of like its widescreen and the vector lines. And like one of my favorite moments, I think, was when they said, oh, we're even bringing back Pinky and the Brain. Like, wait, you have Pinky and the Brain? I'm pretty excited for Animaniacs.
I will say that the WB lineup, or the Fox then WB lineup of the Warner Brothers cartoons, were one of the highlights of my 90s, partially because I didn't have much of a social life, but also because they were great cartoons. I loved Tiny Toons. I loved Pinky and the Brain, but I really, really loved Animaniacs. They were so silly, but it was such a nice mix of a kid's cartoon.
Well, they were zany to the max, Steve.
Yeah, and they had baloney in their slacks, and, you know, Bill Clinton on sex.
And Dana Delaney.
But they were also, it was a very smart show with a lot of cultural references. It was kind of like what The Simpsons are for adults. I feel like it's what Animaniacs was for kids in a way, because The Simpsons was an adult show, kind of, that referenced things that kids could enjoy, whereas Animaniacs was a kid show that adults could enjoy. And I'm very excited to watch this on Hulu.
Now, I was going to bring this up. Do you think that, because The Simpsons, what I think is great about the show that we talk about, The Simpsons, you could, as adults, watch with your kids, and the kids can enjoy it, where the adults can enjoy it because there's adult situations going on, and kids can watch. And I was thinking that, too. Like, now, when we were kids, we loved the Animaniacs, and I haven't gone back to watch, like, any of, like, the old Animaniacs in years. I've gone back and watched, like, Tiny Toons, like, here and there for, like, nostalgia reasons, like, especially, like, the old Plucky Duck when he was, like, a baby. Those was funny. And of course, you know, with They Might Be Giants song parody ones, like those are still great. So do you think that, because yet we as of recording now, we still only ever done one IOF of Springfield. And we've talked about many things that we should do, but we're still kind of lazy now. And I feel like Animaniacs, definitely we should probably tackle that first, at least the first episode.
I think that's a great idea, because it will be interesting to see a new episode through our adult eyes.
It's still the same. Yeah, it's still the same voice actors, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm asking you. Like, do you think we will enjoy it as adults, or we'd be looking back like, oh, this is still meant for kids? And it's like, technically, because we're both childless adults, like, we should have kids and be watching this with our kids.
Yeah. Do you want me to rent a child to see if they enjoy it?
Right. It reminds me of like when things come back that I'm so excited for, and then like it's there, and I'm like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting about that. Like Futurama, when it finally returned to Comedy Central, like, yay. And then you watch it, and like, I feel like those Comedy Central Futurama episodes, they don't hold up as well as the original run.
Yeah, another good example is Arrested Development. It was like one of my all-time favorite shows. And then, you know, when season 4 came out, I tried it and I was like, okay, they're trying something new. And then the other seasons came out and I just couldn't be bothered.
And speaking with animation too, remember when Beavis and Butthead came back?
Oh, yeah.
And they're making a third comeback eventually for Comedy Central, but MTV brought them back again because they weren't showing music videos these days, so they showed clips of like the Snooki show. What was it?
Jersey Shore. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just wasn't the same. Like, you know, I like that nostalgia thing, but sometimes you're like, oh, I guess dead is better, as they say in Pet Sematary.
But that being said, I am excited because this show has always been current and fresh and so frantic and so creative that I'm really excited to see what they do with it. And if they bring back, you know, Slappy Squirrel, or if they bring back, you know, they said Pinky and the Brain, but like what else they bring back?
But that's why I think that trailer, that if you guys haven't seen it again, just go to YouTube and type in Animaniacs Hulu or trailer. But just the fact that like they set that parody is a 90s parody. Like they would have done that parody. And they probably did do that in Animaniacs. It's great. Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. But before we watch that, Steve, that 90s show of Animaniacs coming back, let's watch that 90s show of The Simpsons.
That's right. It's season 19, episode 11, and it originally aired on January 27th, 2008. Craig, what was the number one movie in the box office at that time?
Well, I wish it was a 90s movie, but of course it's 2008, so it wasn't. The movie we were... Is this real? Just looking at it. Meet the Spartans was the number one movie. Is that like a parody movie? Like,
I think it might be. It's like it might be from those folks that made the Not Another Blank movies.
The Jason Friedberg or Fred Berg and Aaron Seltzer production. How was that number one? Really? That's America? Weird. It literally has a 2% Rotten Tomatoes.
Come on, it has Carmen Electra, Kevin Sorbo, and Dietrich Bader.
It's 2% on Rotten Tomatoes for the critic and 25% for the audience.
Wow.
Now, I love a parody movie. Like the Waynes did a great job with the Scary Movie franchise with Anna Faris. Those were fun. Of course, the Zucker Brothers with Airplanes and Naked Guns. Mel Brooks, of course. But these guys, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen them. And this definitely will not be an IOF Springfield episode. I'll tell you that.
No, this was the time when like they just ran parody into the ground. And it just kind of ruined the concept of it.
How is this number one?
It's weird.
Really? So it was January 25th, 2008 when it came out. So that's that. And usually January movies, there's nothing. So Meet the Spartans was the number one movie because of the week it came out. So there you go.
There you go.
America, this is the only time you ever failed us.
Only time.
It's the darkest point in history. Well, Steve, hopefully the music was a little bit better than Meet the Spartans. Well, what were we bopping to?
Well, you're talking about the theater's all-time low, and the number one song on the top 100 of Billboard was "Low" by Flo Rida featuring T-Pain.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. Let it rain. Let me talk to you. Come on. So they have a nipple bottom jean, jean boots with the fur.
You know, it's one of those songs that when you first hear it, you're like, this is kind of annoying. But then, like, after you start listening to it more, I'm like, this is fucking good.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like...
What? Flo Rida was pretty hot back, you know, for a hot minute.
Yeah, he had a moment.
Flo Rida, he saved us from that Meet the Spartans movie for that week. So at least some of our entertainment was more enjoyable than the Meet the Spartans. God. How was that? All right, I'm done talking about that. Steve, it's our 90th episode, Steve. We need a doo-doo. There it is. What's this dreaded episode that everyone hates about?
So when Bart and Lisa unearth Marge's degree from Springfield University, Marge reminisces about her college days when she dated a professor and Homer became a grunge music star.
All right. Like many Simpsons episodes that are infamous for being crappy. What's the word I'm looking for? I was going to say deceptive, but not deceptive.
Much reviled?
Divisive. Much ravioli. Is that what you said?
Yes. It's ravioli.
I haven't been looking forward to doing this episode.
Me too. I've been dreading this one almost more than any other episode. Like, there were other ones like the Lady Gaga episode, which I've not seen, so I'm kind of excited to watch it just to see if it's as bad as everyone said it is. Yeah. I remember this episode, and I remember the memories that I have associated with it, so I was not looking forward to this one, and I look forward to see what we have to say about it.
All right, well, I'm going to have to take a break, and then we'll watch it. How about that?
Sounds like a plan. We'll be right back. I had to handle it. Only sexy woman, get me shown and made me want it. 2 in the morning, I'm zoning, them rose bottles foaming. She wouldn't stop, made it drop. Jordan did that pop and lock. Had to break off. And we're back. Today, we're talking about That 90s Show, the 11th episode of the 19th season. It originally aired on January 27th, 2008. It is episode 411 in the show's run. Your nerd code is KABFO4. It was written by Matt Selman, directed by Mark Kirkland, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
Matthew motherfucking Selman. That's his middle name, right?
Yeah, motherfucking.
Yeah, you know, we've had a couple episodes. We did a Trilogy of Air, which is it's a classic episode.
Great episode.
Behind the Laughter. Love that one. We still have yet to review that.
Looking forward to it. It's very solid.
Jaws Wired Shut.
Good. Very good. Very
good. Yeah.
Great. Horny. Great. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Just letting you know, Craig.
Yeah. Great Fatsby.
Okay.
How about we did Flaming Moe.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Which featured, no, wait, that was Three Gays of the Condor.
Yeah, you're thinking never mind. Of Weird Al. Yeah. Nope. And then this one, too.
Okay.
Plenty of other episodes. He did write the Wait Out for The Simpsons. I think we talked about that before. Hey, and there's a Simpsons reference in this episode. A Seinfeld reference in this episode.
Right. Gotcha.
There's a few Simpsons references in this episode, I think.
As it is, there are in most episodes of The Simpsons.
Let's find them right now.
Alrighty. Well, Craig, as I want to do, I've got some trivia for you.
Oh, I'm excited.
That 90s show is a reference to That 70s Show. Shoot! And also the short-lived That 80s Show, all of which aired on Fox, much like The Simpsons.
Like a rumba!
Did you ever watch That 70s Show? I was more of a That 80s Show guy.
I watched a fair bit of it. They did have, like, you know, some messy towards the end with the Seth Meyers' brother replacing Eric Foreman.
Oh, Oscar?
Yeah.
Seth Meyers' brother, Oscar.
Got a nice hog on him.
I never really got into That 70s Show. I just, I don't know.
Really... I feel like it was good when you were in high school, but I don't know that I'd want to go back and watch it now.
Yeah, I don't want to watch That 80s Show. All I know is, what's his name from It's Always Sunny was in that. Just look it up. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Dennis. Dennis from It's Always Sunny.
Interesting. He was in That 80s Show?
Yeah, I think he might have been like the main character. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Yeah.
I vaguely remember that. I watched it just kind of curious about it, but it was just seemed clunky and like a cash grab.
They should have done a prequel series called That 60s Show with Red and his friend.
Kitty.
Sure. I just know his name because Kurtwood Smith, great character actor.
One of the best.
Yeah. All right. Well, Steve, I guess it's that time to talk about That 90s Show.
Which actually, before we get into it, it's interesting to think about because if That 70s Show were to be made today, given the timeline, it would be That 90s Show.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, yeah. Which is kind of crazy to think about that.
Yeah. We're old and we're all going to die.
Isn't there like some sort of like sitcom out there that or TV show now that takes place in the night? It was called Schooled. Never mind. It was the Goldberg spinoff.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched the Goldbergs and I watched Schooled and it was okay, but it got canceled. So, yeah. All right. Well, can we start the show now, Steve?
All righty. Well, we have a couch gag. And so the family is sitting on the couch. The screen zooms out to show them as a painting in museum with the handwritten caption in French, Seize ne passe un conchgag, a reference to the painting Treachery of Images, and the text translates to "This is not a couch gag," and so that is a reference to a painting, which is a painting of a smoking pipe, a tobacco pipe, and it says "This is not a pipe" because it's a painting, and that's the whole point of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that piece. I think I had to learn about it in art history.
Makes sense.
Which I forgot all about my art history, so I couldn't point to a Van Gogh to a Van Dyke. That isn't funny.
You wouldn't know a Manet from a Monet.
All right, Steve, our episode finally begins as snow has fallen in Springfield with walking in a winter wonderland playing in the background. Steve, is this a Christmas episode?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, the Simpsons family is shivering in front of their fireplace. Homer is in a parka and winter hat, and he starts throwing some the old phonograph there into the fire, ceasing the music.
As Lisa complains of being cold, Homer reassures her that he has wool socks and down parkas to keep her warm. He then throws those winter clothing items into the fire. Marge tells Homer that if he would have just paid the damn heating bill, they wouldn't be in this mess. But Homer assumed global warming would have fixed things, and then goes on to blame Al Gore, who, according to Homer, can't do anything right.
Al Gore just ruins everything. It's damn so politicians. Well, Homer, if you would have waited a couple more years, global warming would have been taking care of your problems.
It's true.
Yeah. I felt the joke was kind of obvious and coming when Homer was saying, like, I got the these parkas and socks or whatever, or the socks, mm-hmm. And then just throws them on the fire. Kind of saw that one coming, but I enjoyed it.
It was cute.
Yeah. Well, good old Hellraiser, helling himself, Bart, brings down a box of magazines to burn, including issues of Popular Science, Red Book, and a catalog for the big and tall Halloween costumes, featuring an overweight Dracula.
There's a quick visual gag of... So you see the Popular Science person, like, having a beaker with an eyedropper. And then the Red Book cover, which is usually, like, a traditional, like, women's magazine with, like, recipes and fashion tips. Mm-hmm. It shows the model using the eye beaker into a measuring cup, which I thought was kind of a fun gag.
Yeah. Looking at it right now.
Yeah.
I am LOLing in my mind.
QLOL. Quietly laughing out loud.
Well, Bart then goes and throws another item into the fire, but Marge protests as it's her memory box, Steve. Ooh. She swats it out of the old Hellraiser's hands, causing the contest to spill out. And we see a photo of college-aged Marge with Rachel from the TV show Friends, Ooh. A.K.A. Jennifer Aniston, haircut. I think I just said the Rachel haircut. You might have known that.
Probably, but you're fine.
Okay, thanks. And then there's a diploma from Springfield University.
What?
Mom, I didn't know you went to college.
Yeah, you always said that after high school, Dad blessed you with the unplanned miracle of me.
Hey, parents are allowed to keep some secrets.
Like which kid's their favorite? It's Lisa.
You know, Mom and Dad are almost 40 and Bart is 10. That means you didn't have him until way after high school.
Yeah, what happened while I was chilling in Dad's junk?
There is a part of our past that we haven't told you kids about. A turbulent part.
Come on, more turbulent than now?
We're in every kind of therapy.
Things happened between your mother and me that we're not proud of. It was the middle of a wild decade known as the 1990s.
The 90s? Never heard of it.
Oh, it was a wonderful time. The Iraq War was over once and for all. A struggling Matt Groening created Futurama. And young people believed in their dreams, thanks to a TV show called Melrose Place.
So, Steve, we've been, 19 seasons, and before we get into this, when they bring up the fact that they're almost 40, and Lisa, you know, does the math there, which was that math equation something?
I am not smart enough to know.
I'm just wondering if, like, it was, like, some sort of theorem.
It probably I would assume is that it is, but I just don't know.
They like to throw in math jokes. I guess I always just took it for granted thinking about it. Like, I always assume Marge was knocked up, I mean, at least by 26. It was always iffy if they were like 36 or 39. And now it's like established, like they're almost 40. But there is that kind of like weird year. Well, no, because Homer was like, wasn't he at the bowling alley? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing in the early 20s. The university thing, like, I could see Marge doing that. Like, maybe they didn't need to tell that tale yet.
Right.
But I think, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little weird because, I mean, originally Bart would have been born in 1979, Lisa in like 81.
Yeah, because I always assumed, like, thinking about, like, well, yeah, Bart maybe was born right out of high school, but that doesn't make sense, because then they'd be like 28 in the show or 20.
It's true. So in a way, this is correcting it.
I think so, but then I'm just thinking, you know, back when, you know, when Maggie makes three, that Homer. Oh no, because here they already had Bart and Lisa in that. So there is that weird. There's like a 10-year gap, kind of, right? Before kids, and this is what they're kind of filling in, huh? I don't mind that idea, but I feel like it's interesting trying to get into, like, doing this. Whereas, like, now they do kind of, like, so many other references to, like, the past. Like, it doesn't bother me. I think the show kind of, like, this episode might have, like, set up.
Yeah, this is probably, like, breaking the floodgates of the kind of playing with the timeline. Because, in a way, you kind of have to, because the fact that, you know, Bart would be 40 now.
Right.
Or 42. Because
Lisa should be our age.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll review this eventually, but I think that, I mean, later on in the episode.
Okay.
But yeah, I think all in all, this is just, that's not necessarily the most concerning, or it's weird, but here we go. I did enjoy, like, when they're trying to, like, put more stuff in the fire and Homer grabs the sailboat painting because he knows that there is a closet full of them.
Has that been established yet? I think so.
I think so.
All right. Let's just get back into it.
Alrighty, so Homer's flashback continues, and we see younger versions of Homer and Marge. Marge wearing pants and a vest, while Homer kind of resembles Chandler's from the aforementioned Friends in a 50s styles bowling shirt and some shaggy kind of coiffed hair.
Do you remember I used to wear bowling shirts and have kind of that?
Yeah, it also kind of looks like you.
Yeah, a little chubby. Although there is certain scenes where, like, all like, yeah, he has like a, he's pretty tall and fit for some reason when he's wearing.
Yeah, it's true. He's kind of buff.
But yeah, I mean, that was the look in the 90s, because I wore the bowling shirts. I wanted to look like Jon Favreau in Swingers.
Because you're a big fan of political podcasts?
Jon Favreau?
Yeah, that's the joke. What's the name of that podcast? Fuck, that joke would have landed so much better if I knew the name of the podcast. We could pull it. Pod Save America. There it is.
There you go.
His name is also Jon Favreau. That's the joke.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, political leanings aside, I'm more of a Jon Favreau guy, and Steve, speaking of Swingers, is more of a Vince Vaughn guy.
That is not
true. Your money, baby.
I don't even know it.
Steve, when's the last time you saw Swingers?
I'm going to say easily 15 years.
I was going to say probably the same time the 90s ended.
Yeah.
August 17th, 2002.
Yeah, whenever my VCR died and I could not watch my pre-owned Hollywood Video version of Swingers, that's probably the last time I saw it.
Yeah, it was like that time where you're like, okay, I'm getting rid of all my VHSs and replacing them with DVDs. Do I need to replace my Swingers VHS with a DVD? Eventually? And then here we are now and you haven't. Yeah. And you're like, do I need to watch this on Netflix? No.
Nah.
I wouldn't mind going back to that, but...
I just want to watch it to find Carl.
Oh, right. New Carl's in that.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, we get Homer is telling the tale of the couple moving into their first apartment together at Springfield Place, a courtyard dwelling with a pool, and we see young Van Houtens in their bathing suits.
Ooh.
Steve, don't get too excited.
Kirk's a hunk.
Yeah, and he's also frustrated with Luann.
Luann, a picture of you cheating on me is downloading onto my computer. I'll know who you were with in less than 6 hours. Unless someone picks up the phone. No! Oh!
We didn't have a lot of money, but we were young and in love.
I'm afraid it's Top Ramen again.
With you, baby, Top Ramen tastes like cup o' noodles.
All right, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer a cup of noodle, I think, over the Top Ramen, like the packets of the, you know.
Yeah.
Munchin House, is that what they're called?
Munchin House Syndrome?
Yeah.
That's their new ad campaign. I got Munchin House Syndrome. Cup of noodles are better, but the packaging is not so environmentally sound because they still use styrofoam, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, and at least they're still like 20 cents a cup to eat and destroy the environment.
But you do get dehydrated carrots, which are pretty tasty.
Yeah, sure. I don't eat any of that crap anymore, Steve.
No, we're adults.
Right, we eat Annie's mac and cheese, not the Kraft.
That's right. We're adults, or six-year-olds of hippie parents.
Yeah. which is just the same crap you're going to give them anyways. It's all the same. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you ever, when you were trying to download stuff back in the 90s, you had to do it at night when everyone was asleep or someone picks up that phone,
mm-hmm.
downloading that one fake picture of the pink Power Ranger naked?
I hate how well I know that pole.
Why were you looking at your penis when you said that pole?
You know, that pole. Also, it's interesting that Kirk has a desktop computer right by the pool. It's yeah. unsafe.
That's also, like, kind of heavy to
yeah.
be calling that.
You have to set it up, and, like, plug in all the wires.
There was laptops in the 90s, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Chandler got one in a very famous episode of Friends.
Yeah. Although I don't think Kirk would probably could afford a laptop.
That's true. He's probably just starting at the Cracker Factory.
Yeah. And laptops in the 90s were pretty crappy.
Yeah. They were really thick and, yeah, not very good.
No, I don't think you could play Doom on them.
Uh-uh.
You probably play SimCity 2000.
Yeah. Or that skiing game that was came up at Windows 95.
With, like, the Yeti that comes down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a fun game.
It was.
I feel like we're going to be reminiscing about the 90s a lot in this episode, so bear with us, guys.
Yeah. Sorry, we're old.
Yeah.
So in Marge and Homer's bare bedroom, we see them sitting on single IKEA foam futons. Homer suggests that they Velcro the mattresses together so they can get it on. But Marge declares that she's not ready and that she's waiting until marriage or until she's really drunk. We've all been there. Homer agrees, saying that they should follow the lead of celebrity role models at the time. He then points to a billboard outside their window that reads, "Sonic the Hedgehog says wait until marriage," with the Sega spokeshog proposing to his girlfriend.
Sega spokeshog. So a lot of unpacking there. You know, we didn't have IKEA in the Pacific Northwest at the time, so
yeah,
we didn't get an IKEA here until maybe 10 years ago.
That sounds about right. I remember whomever I was dating at the time was very excited about it, and we took a trip there.
I don't remember Sonic being the spokesperson for abstinence.
I mean, he could be. I don't really know. I mean, he's probably just afraid of having sex because he'd be so quick about it.
You would blast right through her.
I know.
All right. And, well,
although he does have a gold ring. Is he a polygamist?
He's got Knuckles. You think Knuckles likes to go fist deep?
Yes. Knuckles is probably very popular in the lesbian community.
Who is the Tails or something? Or
very popular in the gay community.
Sonic and his pals were the original Proud Boys.
There you go.
So the narration continues with Homer telling of his musical aspirations. He had a dream of an inoffensive urban light hip-hop smooth grooves. And then we see Homer, Lenny, Carl, and Lou the Cop dressed in suits with white turtlenecks and hair in the style of Boys to Men in the recording booth at Groovetone Records.
Okay, everyone, let's warm up our harmonies. Homer.
Lenny.
Carl. Lou the Cop.
I'll make love to you, show respect for you, hug so safe and strong, back rub all night long, I'll make love to you.
But our happiness was about to unravel, just like Kevin Costner's career, because of the postman.
Oh, that's some Kevin Costner shade throwing.
Yeah, but it's also a very good joke because she's actually getting the mail.
Yeah, unlike us now.
That's right.
We're getting mail, just not ballots.
Yeah, because, yeah.
Anyways, I never saw the postman either, so there we go.
Yeah, me either.
We just know that Tom Petty's in a scene, and that's about it.
That's right. I think that it might have been a poor career move to have another post-apocalyptic tale after
one that bombs.
Exactly. Famously.
Hey, I kind of like Water World.
I enjoyed the Universal Studios attraction.
Dennis
Hopper.
Hopper's great hamming it up in that. He's having fun in that role.
Yeah, and they drink pee. Who doesn't like that?
For some reason, they still have paper for cigarettes. The little kids, super annoying. That was a trope of the 90s, annoying kids.
Yeah.
I feel like kid acting now is gotten better and they're not super annoying like 80s and 90s kids.
I agree with you, although I randomly happened to watch the new, not the sequel, but the original new It from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It just happened to be on TV. There's a lot of kid yelling in that and they're kind of annoying. Kind of like the same way, like, this is apocryphal, I know, but I realized that I don't really care much for the Goonies.
Yeah, we brought that up.
Yeah. And kind of the same thing where just a lot of kids yelling and it annoys me.
That's funny you mentioned it. I mean, again, we're talking the 90s, and then when that 90s It miniseries came out, that's still like my favorite adaptation of It just because I grew up with that one.
Right.
And
of course, it was really good.
Reading the book later when you're an adult, like, okay, there's a lot of things that have to cut out. You know, books are books, movies are movies. But I had a lot of fun. You're right. The kids in the original It aren't annoying at all. They're great.
No. Yeah.
You have like Seth Green before mm-hmm. you Seth Green. You've had Jonathan Brandis, who actually was a great kid actor.
Yeah.
And there's some of the other kids too, but you know, I thought the new kids were fine. It's like, what about the Stranger Thing kids? I think they do a great job.
They actually do a pretty good job because I don't know, I get, when I watch Stranger Things, I tend to get wrapped up in the drama of it.
Yeah.
So I forget, like, it sounds dumb, but I don't think of them as kid actors. I feel like they're just experiencing the thing, which I guess is what acting is supposed to do.
Right. And here's, we've talked about it before too many times, Pen 15, those are the best kid actors because they actually act like kids because they
are kids. Absolutely.
Those, like, the girl that plays, was it Mora
mm-hmm.
in the second season, who's kind of like a villain in a way, like, she is so good, and she's just a kid, and she's got playing opposite of these like 30-year-olds to pretend also, that they're 13.
Yeah, and also I'm blanking on his name, but the main boy,
yeah,
is so good. He's like just a great actor.
Yeah, who I think isn't he also kind of based off the other guy who created the show too with Anna?
Yeah,
Maya?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So. What are we talking about? Oh, Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, The Simpsons. So Marge then opens up her mailbox, which has Homer's name scribbled in, to reveal that she has received an acceptance letter from Springfield University. Homer is upset and confused, as he thought Marge was going to apply herself to making a collage, which he is against.
I feel like that collage joke is more of like a misspelling the word college joke.
Yeah, you know? It works better as a reading joke rather than a verbal joke. Yeah.
That's what I remember, I think that was one of the words, like, you know, like when you're a kid learning to spell,
mm-hmm.
college was when, like, is it A or E?
Yeah.
Anyways, Marge is in disbelief that she has gotten into collage.
College.
Is her dream come true? And it's an expensive dream, Steve, because you know what the annual cost of college was in the 90s?
What's that, Craig?
For a year was $3,000.
Whoa. So much.
And in these day and age, I think just one textbook is $3,000.
Yeah.
And it's not even a textbook. You have to, it's at the PDF of the textbook.
Right.
Anyways, Marge reluctantly put the acceptance letter back into the envelope, defeated.
Homer states that Marge deserves to go to college and that he'll get the money, even if it means swallowing his pride and working for his dad. We then cut to Simpson Laser Tag, which has the slogan, "Enjoy the fad while it lasts." And we see a large image of Abe's head with laser beams shooting from his eyes. Abe admonishes his son for crawling back looking for a job. And what does he need the money for? Medicine? Homer states that it's none of his father's business why he needs the money, and that he should let him work in his business. And there's kind of like a business thing that's supposed to be a joke, but I don't really think it's that funny.
None of your business, don't let me work at your business. Yeah. You wrote in the notes, is that even a joke? Wait, who are you, Chandler, Steve? Are you keeping the 90s vibe going here?
Any less funny?
I mean, I guess laser tag was a thing in the 90s. I mean, it's still around, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, I mean, I've never laser tagged a thing.
When I think of laser tag, I know that there were like places that you go to, but I think more of like the home thing, like that you'd get for Christmas. And that feels like really like late 80s rather than 90s. But
yeah. And I don't know how I feel about Abe Simpson owning a laser tag.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems weird. This was 2008. I think it was after that. Do you remember like Breaking Bad when Walt, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Breaking Bad, Walt, when he was trying to launder his money, Saul Goodman was telling him to open a laser tag facility for laundering his meth money.
Hmm.
That was an early 2000s thing. So did they steal this from The Simpsons?
Simpsons did it.
But yeah, that was just so weird. Like, even though I like the graphic of Abe Simpson shooting lasers from his eyes, I'm just like, this does not seem like Grandpa Simpson's like character to own a laser tag venue.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of telling for most of the episode is the characters are not what they seem to be.
Right. Well, inside that said laser tag studio, we see several children shooting lasers and generally running amok. Homer, in a ref's outfit and also looking fit as fuck, tries to calm down the kids by disabling the lasers. Kids tackle him and beat him with their guns.
Homer goes on to say that Marge's education was all worth all of the pistol whipping in the world. As the young Simpson matriarch explores the campus, Marge sees that it's just like the brochure, with autumn leaves, bowl sessions featuring a young comic book guy explaining to a rapt nerdy audience that The Lord of the Rings can never be filmed. And frankly, I agree because it's boring. And fraternity pledges in their beanies, which are actually Jewish students stepping out from their Hillel centers.
So Marge is excited and she sits down in her first class, which is culture studies, where she meets her new professor, Stefan Auguste.
So, have you all bought the required textbooks for this class? Good. Now throw them all away.
What?
Everything you think you know about history is a lie. For example, the Founding Fathers. What did they have in common?
They defied a king?
They created a system of checks and balances?
Wrong. They were all white, Protestant, property-owning males.
Are you saying that America was founded on misconceptions?
Who said that? That is exactly what I'm saying. Fall semester, you just got interesting.
Kind of a creeper there, Stefan.
Yeah, real jerk.
You're a real jerk, you know that?
Thanks, Penn Teller. So I noticed in the audience, I may have not got them all, but there are some members of Springfield in the classroom, such as Gil Gunderson, Miss Hoover, a young Dr. Hibbert, Sarah Wiggum, whatever her maiden name is, Artie Pye, Edna Krabappel, and my favorite, a woman who looks like Popeye for some reason.
I saw that too. I'm like, what is this? Like, and then there's like a lady with like a unibrow too, right next to
her. Yeah, right next to her.
I think I also see a young disco student. Did you say that already?
I didn't. I wasn't sure, so I'm glad you pointed that out because I thought it could have been.
Okay, I see a young disco stew. I think I see a young Dewey Largo. A young blue-haired lawyer who has like...
Oh, I see Quincy's cousin, too.
Oh, you got Krabappel there, too, right? Yeah, you got her. And it looks like Martin's dad is just right above Krabappel.
Yeah.
The Popeye one just threw me off. I'm like, what is this? It's so funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, outside the campus, Homer is weeping whilst reading a book. He's crying because the novel he's reading is The Bridges of Madison County, because it sucks so much, Steve. It's like
it sucks so much, Steve.
Steve, get that book off your dick.
Sorry, I just love Clint Eastwood.
And anyways, Marge comes a-running, excited to tell Homer that her mind has been opened in multiple ways and that every U.S. president at the time had been a straight white man. As Homer points out, even Walt Disney. So at the time, of course, excluding, you know, Barack Obama, who's African-American, and Donald Trump, who's a pile of orange crap.
That's right. He's not a white person. He's just horrible. Although he does like white people a lot. I do have to point out that there have been a lot of rumors that several presidents in the past may have been gay or bisexual, such as lifelong bachelor James Buchanan, Lyndon B. Johnson, and most notably Abraham Lincoln, who has been known to spoon with other men quite frequently.
Well, you know, Lyndon B. Johnson had a huge hog, right?
Yeah, he loved to show it off.
I think he was bi-curious. I think he probably had like orgies.
Yeah.
He probably fucked whatever he could.
That's right. He'd like fuck an Ottoman if he could.
I think the Ottoman Empire was over by then, Steve. Anyways, Marge goes on to say that history was written by the winners, to which Homer retorts that he always thought that history was written by losers.
I like that joke.
Yeah. And Marge explains that Professor Auguste has shown her a new side of the world she's never known. As Homer imagines the educator as a gray-haired old bookworm, Professor Auguste appears, which causes Marge to get horny.
Professor Auguste tells Marge that if his beads are parted, that she is welcome to come on in. He then rides off in his stupid recumbent bicycle as Marge lets out the horniest of moans. Homer, aloof, wonders what's on his girlfriend's mind, and in the background we see Professor Auguste doing some bike tricks on his dumb bike. I don't like recumbent bikes. I think they look silly.
Sure. I just don't look in your mailbox tomorrow.
Aw.
I got your recumbent bike weekly magazine subscription.
Not even the bike, just... That's the magazine about it.
And it's a weekly magazine, too. I don't know what they have to say every week.
Wow. We like sitting. Me.
Yeah, that scene was kind of silly. As in, like, me. But, yeah, Marge's moan, though. That was... Also, did like, Homer, like... Maybe it's because Marge's hair is not up, but Homer looks really tall. I mean, well, it's because he's wearing stripes, right?
That's true. That's why you wear vertical stripes.
I wonder. I just thought he looked taller. Okay. Well, Steve, we finally get to Act Two. Whew. We made it. And it's back into the modern day where where a van for Springfield Gas and Electric, formerly Electric and Gas, is outside 742 Evergreen Terrace. And inside, we see the worker is nearly done while working on a thermostat. The gas man offers to tell a story of a woman he loved and lost. But Lisa quickly and rudely dismisses him. It's just shut up, monkey man, and make the gas flow. I kind of want to hear his story, though.
I know.
So Marge continues to tell her story of love and loss.
Anyway, I was growing to admire my professor more and more.
That's why instead of XX, I think of the female genes in a more positive light. Plus, plus.
Professor, do you think white male scientists have marginalized the contributions of the third world?
Great question. And the answer is, of course. Could a tribe of Bushmen have invented penicillin? Maybe they already have, but no one asked them. No one asked them.
Oh, Elaine, will you ever find someone who's sponge-worthy?
Professor August says the situation comedy is a doomed genre.
Here's what I say to that. No soup for you, because I am master of my domain, Newman.
I wish you would support my comments.
That's how Steve feels about me. He wishes I supported his comments.
Yes, but I disagree that the sitcom is a doomed genre.
It's still around.
Yeah.
Although, like the three-camera, do you watch a three-camera sitcom still? Like a new one?
Trying to think of any. No.
Yeah. I think the last one I watched was, because I mentioned earlier, I watched The Goldbergs, but that's not a three-camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Modern Family and again, not their camera. Oh, man, I don't know. What is the last? I think it was Frasier.
Yeah.
I did watch How I Met Your Mother.
I was going to say, that's the one I was trying to think of.
Yeah, I think that might have been. And I've admitted on the show, I think, that I did watch the first couple seasons of Big Bang Theory. I don't watch Mom.
No.
I don't watch. I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Are there like a lot of.
Because I like Alice and Janney. And like, I heard that show's supposed to be good, but there's like 8 years. And I'm like, I don't need to get into it.
Yeah. That's why I like, you know, you and I both recommend a lot of like British shows to one another.
Right.
That's why I like them, because if you want to watch them, you know, it's like six episodes and you're done.
I know. I've been on a. I'm finally watching Red Dwarf, which is like, it's a sci-fi comedy from England. But it's one of those shows, it felt like too daunting for me to watch, because like that show was like on in the 80s when I was a kid and they still make new episodes. Like, I don't know if I could get into it. Then I realized, oh, there's only like six episodes a season.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a total of like 30 episodes from like years now.
Yeah.
This is digest.
Friend of the show, Timothy, mentioned that in a conversation with him that I had with him recently, talking about how he liked that. And that was a good, because he was mentioning, talking about our episode of I, Off Springfield and the balance of doing comedy and sci-fi simultaneously. And that pulled that off really well.
Yeah, it definitely does. There is some things in Red Dwarf that don't age well, but with most things, you know.
Yeah.
It'll happen. But I think we should continue with our Simpsons talk.
Alrighty, a bit of trivia. In that clip, Marge is seen reading Howard Zinn's 1980 book, The People's History of the United States, which shows a side of history counter to the popular glorification of nationalism traditionally taught in schools. So like the white guy's law like won everything and then everything was good. Also, Seinfeld's funny.
Yeah, Matt Selman. Yeah. He wrote an episode.
That's right. Homer tells Marge that he works hard all day for education and that he just wants to get Zima'd up and have her put salve on his laser burns. Evidently, if all the kids fire at the same spot on his stomach, it actually hurts. Homer then lifts his shirt to reveal several red splotches.
Zima. Didn't that come back?
I think it did. I never bought it.
I just imagine it tastes like Sprite with vodka in it.
Yeah, I imagine it just tastes like Smirnoff Ice. Like,
right, right. Okay, there you
like
go.
Like that sweet malt liquor thing that like just sticks on your mouth and you feel that coat on your tongue of just sugary liquor, and then you just feel like bloated and tired.
All right. As Marge rubs down Homer's torso, she looks into his smiling eyes and he turns into Professor August. I almost said Professor Frank. Hi, man. So Marge is startled by what she sees, and so she turns Homer around to put lotion on his back, and then his back is transformed into August's tweed jacket completed with the leather patches. I thought that was a fun little gag.
Yeah, so as Semisonic's closing time plays, we see Homer and Marge once again in their bedroom. But this time, they're both facing the other way, deep in worried thought. They both try to steal a glance from one another to no avail.
And the next day, Marge is in Professor August's office. The liberal arts teacher is praising Marge's protest studies art project, which is a painting of the Statue of Liberty chopping off America's wang. Florida. And Marge swoons, and suddenly a note falls from her backpack. Before we play the clip real quick, I highly enjoyed the how Marge was just got a kick out of her painting.
I just want to say, I wish we could do that. Sorry, listeners in Florida, but go away. You're bad.
I told you my idea, again, not a political podcast, is we just hand Trump Florida and say, this is Trump land. You could do whatever you want. And people that want to live in Trump land, go live in Trump land.
I love it.
And then we build a wall around Trump land.
Build that wall. Oh, don't take that out of context.
I will help pay for that wall around Florida.
Yeah.
So let's put a condom on America's wang. Anyways, here's the clip we promised you guys. Steve, we promised this, correct?
Right? Promises.
Okay.
Thank you, Professor August.
Oh, please, I'm your advisor. Call me Stefan.
Oh, thanks. It's just a note from my boyfriend.
Let me guess. He's a high school flame who's preventing you from flowering.
Homer's perfect for me. Just look at this note. I miss you. Aww.
Actually, Marge, if I may deconstruct that letter, when he writes, I miss you, I is the subject and you is the object. You are his object.
But Homer's so supportive. He's paying for me to go to college.
He's paying for you like he owns you. I'm sorry, but that is oppression.
Well, I know you'd never say anything that isn't objective.
Marge, your assignment is to think about what I have said about your relationship.
When is it due?
Before it's too late.
Stefan
August is played by Hank Azaria.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say Azaria? Anyways,
Azaria, I think.
I got to say that
Azaria.
He's played this kind of like pompous character before, like that kind of voice. But I got to say he's killing it here on this character because he's so pompous and annoyed. You just want to punch him.
It's really true. I hate Stefan August so much.
But that just shows how great his performance is.
Yeah.
That whole, like, he says, I love you. That means you're the possession, Marge.
Yeah, that kind of, like, quasi-woke or whatever you want to call it, like, feminism. It's right. Really infuriating to myself.
And, you know, because in the end, he just wants to get his dick wet.
That's right.
Well, it's true, Steve.
It is true. You're not wrong. I just want to get my dick wet.
Kramer, I just want my dick wet. George got his dick wet, and it shrank.
My dick's getting wet, Jerry.
Elaine?
Get out of my pussy.
Jesus.
My wet ass pussy.
You know, was there ever a Seinfeld porn parody like those every TV show's ever done? There had to have been.
Yeah. They call it coming, but then you go. Anyway.
All right.
Well, once again outside the campus, Homer is calling for Marge. He asks if she is near the Joan Miro statue, Moonbird, which he is next to. A student passing by corrects Homer and says that it's pronounced Juan Miro, while another student calls him a stupid townie. A crowd gathers to laugh at Homer, and he tries to respond.
Hey, it's townies like me that cook your food and clean your bathrooms.
If you did the former better, we'd use the latter less. That's it, townie. Run! Run back to your town!
I kind of did like the that scene, the townie.
Yeah. The old professor is a very Simpson-y character, like, yeah. Run, Tony, back to your town.
It almost seems like a character Conan would have created.
Definitely, yeah.
But he didn't, so look at him now. Right. Has to resort to making podcasts like us.
Exactly. We're all the same.
I mean, my hair's kind of like Conan's right now if you see his show.
I believe that, yeah.
Anyways, well, back into Stefan's office. He's showing Marge a dreamcatcher from the Lekapony tribe, which was ruled by women. He looks through the dreamcatcher and states that he's caught his dream in Marge. Hmm. He then proceeds to do a fairly offensive chant in the assumed style of his First Nation people.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I mean, I don't know if at the time it was so bad, but like now with, you know, as far as we've progressed, like doing a chant like that just seems bad.
Yeah.
So Homer busts through the beaded door, wanting to know what's going on with all the chanting. Marge declares that Homer is embarrassing her, and Homer laments that he doesn't know what she's doing at this college, and that he's nothing like Animal House. He smashed a beatnik's guitar, and the beatnik sued him for damages, successfully. Marge tells Homer to go home, and he leaves yelling, "Slam," which is a worse version of the Mitch Hedberg joke about leaving a camping tent and trying to slam the flap.
I did like his beatnik suing him for damages.
Yeah, the successfully really sold it for me.
Well, back at Groovetone Records, see, remember they're also in a band?
That's right.
Yeah, Lenny Carl and Lou are all humming in their new Jack swing attire when Homer is despondent in a flannel, torn out jeans, and disheveled hair. He wants to rethink the band's direction.
I can't do it. Our harmony-laden R&B doesn't make sense in this cruel world. I'm taking our music to the next level. Guitar rock utilizing nihilist grunge energies, or as I call it, grunge. We are Sadgasm, and this song is called Politically Incorrect.
I do like Homer's acronym for grunge, also has the word grunge in it.
Yeah, it's guitar rock utilizing nihilist grunge energies.
Yeah.
Pretty good. The band, now known as Sadgasm, has completely changed their look, with Lenny on guitar sporting a chinstrap beard and t-shirt, Lou on percussion with leather S&M wristbands, and Carl on bass wearing cargo shorts and long hair. Homer is wearing a green striped shirt over a thermal underwear top in the style of one Kurt Cobain.
Steve, did you ever don that style?
Absolutely. That's seventh grade right there.
When's the last time you wore a thermal shirt with a t-shirt over it?
I'm going to say seventh grade.
Okay, I'll be more embarrassed. I think it was like 2007 for me, probably.
I mean, they were comfortable.
Yeah.
I do still wear a lot of striped t-shirts.
I do have a couple thermals, but I wear them for work.
They're all, yeah, I mean, they definitely have a good function, too.
It's meant to keep me warm.
I'm a warm guy already. I tend to feel hot all the time, so I don't need that thermalness.
You know what I just purchased that I haven't worn in a long time? An old baseball tee.
Oh, with like the 3/4 length sleeve?
Yep.
Nice.
I thought it was, actually, I got it from tpublic.com, but it wasn't from our podcast. It was something
you
I designed.
You didn't go to /user Annoying Turn Boys?
No, I went to /user/.
The Guns N' Roses t-shirt?
Yeah. It's a picture of Slash wearing a Guns N' Roses t-shirt.
Whoa, deep.
So as Homer begins his song, a crowd cheers along. A nerd with his nose buried in his books walks into the mass of people and exits the other side as a shirtless tattooed rocker. And then we see a young snake jailbird crowd surf atop a crowd with Chief Wiggum and his patrol car crowd surfing behind. Man, those people are really strong.
It's true.
And we get an homage to one of my favorite movies, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
One of those classic 90s movies, Back to the Future.
The Eric Stoltz classic.
Although, to be fair, Ghostbusters.
To be fair.
Back to the Future 2, 3 came out in 1990, so it overlapped a bit.
Sure.
All right, here's that clip.
Kurt, it's Marvin, your cousin, Marvin Cobain. You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Homer, seeing Marge, jumps into the crowd and surfs towards her. Marge tells Homer that his music is so angry and bitter. He said that it's because he's paying for Marge to make goo-goo eyes at some smooth-talking professor.
Hey, Steve, I got some trivia.
Oh, yeah.
So, Sadgasm's first song is Politically Incorrect. It's a parody of two, count them two, Nirvana songs.
Oh.
With a heart-shaped box, and Frances Farmer will have her revenge on Seattle.
Oh, I did a... This is weird. In seventh grade, we had a video project where we had to lip sync a music video. And I was Kurt Cobain and I sang Heart-Shaped Box, not knowing it was about abortion. I just thought it was a fun song.
No, it's funny because I had to do the same thing. I think it was more of a lip sync thing for class.
Yeah.
And we have to make a video, but I ended up doing a Ben Folds 5 brick.
Really?
No. I did actually do something like that, but it was Tom Petty Won't Back Down or something, because I knew actually how to play that on the guitar.
That makes sense, yeah. That would be good.
Yeah. I don't know what the project was for. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know what I learned from that other than, I don't know.
Wait, were we in the same class when we did this?
I probably the same. It's Miss Smith, I think. I'm probably the same teacher, but probably maybe not the same. I don't know.
I don't know if we were in the same, but if we had to do something like lip syncing thing or whatever, and that was, I did Tom Petty.
Huh.
That's funny. Well, whatever it was, it apparently helped us learn whatever class that was.
That's right. That's why we're here today. So Marge asks Homer why should she stay with a man who resents how she's flowered. Homer tells her that maybe she should be with someone a little bit older and more sophisticated that can take her to Europe over the summer. Professor August rolls up in a stupid dumb bike and takes Marge away.
A blonde groupie comes up to Homer asking him to sign her boobs. He agrees but writes, "Marge, come back on the fans' breasts." And Homer is sad. Aww. So he goes home to
masturbate.
You know, as you would if you had to Sharpie some tits.
Masturbate.
So, mercifully, we arrive at our third act, with Homer and Marge in their living room, telling the tale of their children, and the gas man who's found a comfy spot in a recliner.
Mom, why did you stop talking for 2.5 minutes?
It seemed like 20.
Whatever. Homer and I had the wrenching task of dividing up a shared life.
Okay, I'll keep the LPs and you take the CDs. I'll take the typewriter, you take the computer. I'll take the Enron stock, you take the Microsoft stock, and,
Who gets Cutie Puss?
I just want a tentacle.
Hey, so that, making the joke of, like, Homer gets all the stuff that's obsolete and Marge gets all the stuff that's good. Mm-hmm. Those LPs are actually better now than CDs because LPs have now, like, I think I just read that they sold more than CDs, which is not hard because I think 4 CDs were sold last year.
That's true. And, yeah, you know, records are, they made a comeback and people collect them.
Yeah.
And especially in these times, it's a great way to support your favorite band because they can't tour. And so, you know, they're releasing limited edition LPs as a great way to, you know, keep them in business.
Steve, don't worry. I am keeping some of my indie artists, you know, buying their LPs. This young lady named Taylor Swift, I've bought some of her vinyl, so she'll be doing okay, Steve.
Oh, good. I was really worried about her.
I also got these 4 young lads from Liverpool called the Beatles.
Yeah, that's good. I have this young, he's like a retro artist. He does a lot of black people's music, but with a new flair. His name is like Elvis. He's also very good.
Steve, I'm also supporting a young black artist. His name's Beethoven.
Dude, that guy's deaf.
Most.
So dumb.
So Homer tugs on the tentacle of the Beanie Baby, and the beads fall dramatically to the ground. Young former and future couple look to each other wistfully. The stuffed octopus deflates, forming a frown.
Aw. Homer describes his depression, saying that he spent all his time at a bar. He then walks into Moe's and orders a beer, but Moe informs him that he has converted his bar into a cigar bar, to which Homer replies, "Cohiba me, and leave the humidor."
You know, I do like that reference. The 90s, cigars were huge in the 90s.
Yeah, remember a Cigar Aficionado magazine? Like,
yeah,
if you were a male celebrity, you had to be on it.
My dad subscribed to it, yeah.
I feel like everybody's dad subscribed to it.
It was a thing. It's not so. I mean, there's cigar stores are still around, but yeah, I'm sure Cigar Aficionado is still around, and probably is like it's still Tom Selleck that's on the cover.
Yeah.
So Moe then lights a cigar for Barney, who doesn't enjoy the sensation and lets out a belch, followed by a cloud of smoke, which emanates through the bar. As it clears, Moe is attempting to steal the watch of a patron. Once caught, the bartender explains that he wasn't stealing. He was just trying to come on to the guy, and the customer is all right with this, and offers to go back to his place, in which Moe replies, "Oh boy, oh boy, because the concept of homosexuality is hilarious." Wait, he doesn't say that.
I didn't end the quote there, sorry.
Well, keep it in, Steve. I think the fans will enjoy the blunder.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
It'll be Steve. Well, I think the joke is implying that in the 90s, I think homosexuality is becoming more acceptable. Where Mo, you know, was, he's not, of course, acceptable of that yet.
Yet. Wait till season 33.
Right. I didn't think the joke was offensive. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, it did speak a lot to the gay panic of sitcoms of the 90s. So, yeah, I think right, I guess it was fine.
That's, yeah, the gay panic of the 90s sitcoms or even the 80s. It's all sitcoms.
Yeah.
You laughed then. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, no, I kissed a guy and they're like, ooh, they get all skeeved out. And now you look at him like, wow, that's horrible.
Yeah. And like, this is kind of a tangent, but I know you've seen it, but Schitt's Creek finally came, the final season came to Netflix.
Right.
And I've been watching it and I love it. And it's such a good show. And it's also nice to see, you know, 2 gay men just being in a relationship and it's not like a big deal. It's just what it is.
David and Pete. Is it Pete, right?
Yeah.
They're one of the best couples on TV, I think.
Very sweet. And it's lovable.
All right. Schitt's Creek. Watch that.
That's right. Yeah. Meanwhile, Stefan and Marge are on a bike date, taking a tour of Springfield's most wheelchair-unfriendly restaurants, including the Top of the Staircase Grill. Marge declares that she wants his knowledge inside of her.
Steve, isn't your penis called knowledge?
That's right. It's power. Knowledge is power.
The happy intellectual couple ride by Moses. Homer looks on defeated. He says that the sight of Marge always reminds him of Marge. He then throws his cigar butt over the shoulder into a nearby oxygen bar, which then explodes. Krusty, burnt and smoldering, wonders where he'll get his oxygen now. Oxygen bar saying that. I thought that was more of a 2000s thing and not a 90s thing. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it feels like a 2000s thing, but either way, it's a weird thing. Although, you know, a couple weeks ago, we really could have used it in the Pacific Northwest.
Right. A cigar bar, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because all that stress of all the smoke outside would have really could use a cigar to calm down.
Yeah.
So as grunge plays, the Little Seattle section of Springfield is shown, with myriad of coffee shops shown, such as the Java Hut, Coffee Again, the Coffee Junction, and the Coffee Cup, which to me feels a little lazy when you could have gone for much more ambitious coffee puns like the ones that I come up with, such as Grounds for Divorce, Brood Awakening, Deja Brew, and A Whole Latte Love, and so on.
Wow, Steve, you wrote those yourself?
Sure.
You're a regular old, what's her name that does those jokes? The Simpsons, Good Place.
Oh, Megan Amram.
Yeah, you're a regular Megan Amram there, Steve.
I say offensive things sometimes.
I know, but, oh, yeah.
I got canceled. Oh, she not got canceled. Anymore. She's been strangely quiet for the past, like, 3 months.
Yeah, we'll forget about it.
Yep.
Well, the camera pans to show music. We're in a venue where a Sadgasm is headlined with a parody of Nirvana's Rape Me called Shave Me, to the cheers of the crowd. And back at Stefan's brownstone apartment, he and Marge are getting to know each other a little more intimately.
Have you really read all these books?
Well, morally, I couldn't display them on shelves if I hadn't. But I watch sports as well, just like a regular man. Good goddess, the Patriots are deep in Redskin territory. This isn't entertainment. It's genocide.
Why don't we put on some music?
No, no, I need whale songs. Marge, may I compliment your appearance?
Yeah, sure.
You look lovely. If I were to approach you for a kiss, would you construe that as harassment or give your willing consent?
Consent, of course.
Ah, continuing in that line of thought, may I kiss your mouth with my mouth?
Just do it already.
And Marjorie wants to get it.
She's horny for that whiny little bitch.
With his stupid bike.
Yeah.
Well, at least he'd be happy to know that the Washington team is now known as the Washington football team. And I hope they stay that Washington football team. They don't need a new name.
I don't think any teams need names.
No, I actually think it's funny. I mean, maybe I'll be a Washington football team fan.
Yeah.
No, their ownership are horrible, horrible people. But okay.
We then cut to Homer's new abode, a mansion with a crowd of adoring fans camped outside. Homer narrates that he had finally realized every rock star's dream, hating being famous. Inside, we see Homer strumming a guitar surrounded in the filth of takeout food containers, beer bottles, and piles of gold records, which he sets aflame.
Why aren't I happy? I'm the hottest grunge artist on Mucus Records. Weird Al is doing a parody of my song.
Raisin bread with applesauce. Tony Danza, he's the boss. Brain freeze! Brain freeze! Brain freeze! Brain freeze!
He who's tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
So Weird Al parodies Homer's song Shave Me, titled Brain Freeze, a parody of Rape Me by Nirvana, we said, which harkens back to his actual parody of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit, titled Smells Like Nirvana. In real life, Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain once said that he didn't feel like he had made it until musician Yankovic recorded his parody of Teen Spirit.
That's right. So this is the second appearance of Weird Al on the show, as we mentioned. And so, yeah, it was good to see him. I like this song. I felt it lacked a little cohesion. Like, it was just a lot of random words, but it was still a lot of fun.
I didn't know we were supposed to review the parody song of the parody song of the parody song.
I don't know. You don't have to.
Okay, I'm not going to review it.
Fine. So, Stefan and Marge are strolling the beach when they come upon a lighthouse. Professor August explains that it is the ultimate expression of phallocentric technocracy, violating Mother Sky, while Marge just assumed that the lighthouses were tall so that boats could see them.
She couldn't be more wrong. You know, Stefan has to mansplain that everything penis-shaped is bad. So then they walk over to a dune and they see a wedding taking place, to which August says that slavery is alive and well in Springfield. And he goes on to say that marriage has oppressed women for centuries. But Marge counters that she'd like to get married someday. And the professor continues with this.
Oh, Marge, it's statements like that that make people say women are stupid.
It's statements like that that are mean.
Well, it may sound mean, but I'm just trying to help you evolve.
Oh, evolve yourself, Professor Jerk. Or should I say, Associate Professor Jerk?
I only got denied tenure because my department head is an idiot!
What did you say about me?
I'm sorry, Professor Moose.
You're about to get your PhD. Pound head down.
Everything shaped penis is bad, by the way.
Yeah.
There was a penis joke and we weren't really talking about it, which is weird.
Yeah. I know that the bishop is my least favorite chess piece. It's like a little dick.
The pawns could be little dicks too.
You're right. I mean, really, if you're ambitious, anything could be. Although if your dick looks like a knight, maybe see a doctor. Or date a horsey girl.
All right, well, Steve.
So Marge rides away to his vacant student union, where she sees Homer on MTV playing another song, this one a parody of Bush's Glycerine.
Could he be singing about me? He is!
I paid for her dreams. She taught me to cry like watery knives, like rain from my eyes. I can't believe you're not mine. I can't believe you're not mine. Margarine. 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 Margarine.
Loves me so much after what I did to him.
We interrupt this bleak block to bring you a breaking story. Grunge Trailblazers Sadgasm have broken up.
So that was clearly a parody of Bush's Glycerine, as you mentioned. I liked the use of margarine and margarine, using Marge's name. I thought that was fun. Also, the music video is a parody of or take on some Metallica song called Hero of the Day that I don't really know. I'm guessing it's later era Metallica, but it's he's in a Jeopardy style game show with different things. And it's really evocative of the 90s music videos that were supposed to be artsy with like the Crash Test Dummies like nodding and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like art, but not really.
Yeah, like this podcast.
Exactly.
It's a broadcast, but not really.
Yeah. Also, I watched randomly the other night Bush's Glycerine video just to see what that was all about. It's just a lot of like empty warehouses and bad lighting.
I still like that song though. It's a classic 90s grunge song.
Yeah, Bush got maligned for coming a little bit too late.
But not with Gwen Stefani.
That's right. She didn't tell her back.
Until she had to divorce Gavin and marry a country singer.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's weird. But yeah, Bush was it was like when I finally made the transition from cassette to CD, mm-hmm. The two that I bought were Primus's, was Pork Soda the album or what?
My name is Mud. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That yeah. And the Bush album, 16 Stone. So that dates how old I am.
The last Primus album I purchased, I think, was the Brown album. And then I think Anti-Pop came out in the late 90s, but I never got that. I guess I was kind of done with Primus by then.
Yeah, the last one I remember like revisiting them was the weird Willy Wonka cover album.
Yeah, I never.
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Sorry. Sorry, Primus. Sorry, Les Claypool. Hey, there's a reference. Les Claypool named his house Rancho Relaxo after The Simpsons. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's a good connection. Way to go.
I still like Les Claypool, so yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be on the show later, I think, but we might have to cut it out for a time.
That's right.
Like all our guests. Anyways, the MTV news report shows fans of the band crying at their breakup as iconic pop culture newsman Kurt Loder, or should I say Kurt Older, describes a Homer hiding in his mansion with out-of-control narcotics addiction. He closes by saying, "This is Kurt Loder reporting from the 90s.
Marge, deeply concerned, takes a cab to Homer's home, pushing through the massive crowd of fans, and busts in to see Homer, catatonic, with a needle sticking in his arm.
Oh my God, you're a junkie!
I need it!
I'm getting you off this stuff!
But I need it!
No, you don't!
Marge then flushes the needle down the drain, and nurses Homer, giving a bath and feeding him soup. In a voiceover, Marge explains that she learned that she was mistaken. That wasn't heroin after all. It was insulin. Homer needed injections as he had become diabetic from drinking too many Frappuccinos.
I enjoyed that whole scene. That was great.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't really have Homer being addicted to heroin on a cartoon you watch with kids.
Yeah. That'd be pretty really dark.
I was like that episode, what was it, Camp Crustier from last week when I thought Bart was going to slit his wrists. Anyway, so Homer recovers in the hospital bed and Marge explains that she was so caught up with college that she forgot how important his love was. And she begs forgiveness from her future husband and he is happy to give it to her, Steve.
Oh.
Give it to her hard and good.
Can you find it in your heart to take me back?
Of course. The thing that stood between us, the 90s, is almost over.
You're right, but I'm worried about what's on the horizon. Reality shows, Britney Spears, the suspicious number of home runs being hit.
At least we know there'll never be a president worse than Bill Clinton. Imagine, lying in a deposition in a civil lawsuit. That's the worst sin a president could commit.
There'll never be a worse president. Never.
Never.
How fun is that joke in our current political climate that they didn't know that the Obama administration would happen, you know?
Mustard on a hamburger? A tan suit? Oh my gosh.
But no, I think it's funny if like a kid watches the show now, they're gonna think this is a Trump joke.
Yeah.
But I could go back to the days where just give me a George W. Bush, please.
Yeah.
And the evil men that ran this country then.
Yeah, because at least they just, you know, I mean, they do a lot of bad things, but...
Aren't they all the same old white men kind of still in control, really?
Yeah, I mean, not to be like, it's not like a deep cabal of like the same white men, but yeah, it's basically the same white men.
Yeah, and I found out that they can't jump, Steve.
Is there anything they can do?
Yes, they can ruin a country.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And they could get COVID-19, but they also can afford to get the cocktail to help them combat that. And that cocktail won't be accessible to, you know, any of hardworking tax-paying Americans. There you go. Not a political podcast, Steve.
Nope, it's just a vile thing that that person's doing.
Don't worry, Steve. Don't worry. It's not that bad, okay?
Yeah, don't live in fear about it. It's okay. Fine. No. Don't let it control you.
Don't let it control you, Steve. God, that's all we just needed to hear. But that joke, yeah, there we go. All right, let's just finish this episode, Steve.
So Homer then narrates that the 90s are drawing to a close and that the Sydney Olympics are coming soon. The love between Homer and Marge Bouvier has been rekindled. They then fuck in a castle, a mini golf course, resulting in Bart. Marge stops Homer from telling the tale, though the children have fallen asleep, and the gas man seems to have gone home. As they wake up, Homer explains that the professor couldn't keep their love apart, unless, of course, he'd been a little bit nicer at the beach.
Or just, you know, not all-around mansplaining jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'm glad they kept the mini golf course castle. You know, that's still canon.
Yeah.
It'd be really annoying if, like, then we went to the laser tag and made Bart. Like, no.
No.
But from that story, Marge learned Homie is where the heart is. And once they are back together, Homer was too happy to grunge again. And they share a kiss and we see the exterior of the Simpsons home. And the stodgy professor from earlier strolls by walking his dog and smirkly dismissively says, "Townies."
And that's our episode.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Steve, let's take a break and come back and I guess wrap it up.
Sounds good. We'll be right back.
I'll make love to you. Show respect for you. Hug so safe and strong. Back rub all night long. I'll make rub to you.
And we're back, Steve. All right, let's wrap up that 90s show with our that wrap-up talk. You know, we got some visual gags or some quotes, maybe some external reviews, our review, and then we'll find out what we're watching next week.
Sounds great.
All right, let's get off with the visual gags, Steve. If you had to have something from that 90s show, tattooed or put on a t-shirt, what would you want to commemorate this episode of The Simpsons?
Well, you know, there's the obvious, you know, you could do a sadgasm t-shirt, which nobody would want you to wear.
No.
There's the painting of the Founding Fathers with evil spray painted over it, which I feel like is appropriate, especially in these times. But I gotta go with I want a t-shirt of my favorite character from this episode, Popeye Lady.
You said that in the show talk.
Yep, she's just, I don't know what her deal is, but I love her.
I think she'd be a good tattoo. Yeah.
That's true too, yeah.
Go back to the old standard tattoos that we used to do. Yeah, along with the sarcasm. I also like the, you could also have the caricatures of Homer, Lenny, Lou, or Ed, is it Ed and Carl as the boys to men guys. If I had to do one, I think it would be Marge's painting of the Statue of Liberty, not circumcising Florida or America's wing, but cutting America's wing off Florida. I think I'd get that. T-shirt. I mean, that actually would be a fun choice. T-shirt to have, but the implications from this episode, you know, just based on the fans.
Yeah,
I'm surprised you didn't want to get Stefan on his recumbent bike.
Sorry for any of you recumbent bikers out there, but
I have a stationary one for exercise. I never exercise on, so there you go.
That's fine. I mean, I don't dislike the concept of bikes. They're fine. I like bicycles, but just the guys in the recumbent bikes, they always just seem just a little smug about it.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
It's just like, weird.
Out of the way.
On your left. And then I always go to my left because I hear left and I'm like, oh, left. And then I'm in their way more.
Yeah. They're like, no, stage left.
It's like, oh, now I get it.
All right. Well, that was quick and out of the way. How about quotes? Do you have any fun quotes from this episode that you got to quote all the time?
That's a little tough for me. The joke about, you know, about not having the worst president ever, it's pretty funny.
I mean, in the light of day, like, that was the George W. Bush joke, and it was funny. But now, looking at it now, it's funnier.
Yeah. I do like the, it's not like a joke that I'd, like, quote, but the gas man being like, oh, nobody cares about the gas man. Just fix the gas, monkey man. I thought his performance was funny.
Oh, yeah. And it wasn't a sarcastic guy, either. It was a different character.
Also, comic book guy saying, and that is why Lord of the Rings can never be filmed. I thought that was fun.
Well, I would have to go with the dumb joke of Stefan saying, or when Marge is like, oh, sorry, associate professor. He's like, I can't get tenure because my department head is a real idiot or whatever. And it's a literally dumb guy.
Yeah.
I thought that whole scene was kind of funny. It's classic Simpsons, I think, silly joke.
Yeah.
The, what was the other one too? The townies.
The
townies one.
The professor. Go back to your town, townie.
Townies, yeah. That was fun. I think that's all I kind of got from, like, the ha-has, and besides, like, the other, like, type of jokes. Maybe the beginning with Bart and Lisa. Yeah, that's maybe what this episode was missing. No Bart and Lisa.
Yeah.
They're good characters. Anyways, Steve, do we have any external reviews?
You know, this is not an older episode, but it's a fairly old episode that has been talked about quite a bit. And so rather than going through every review and just writing about all the problems that people had with it, I just thought I'd read you some headlines from the International Movie Database.
Go for it.
Alrighty, so here we go. We have 1 out of 10 from CZ12, a slap in the face to longtime Simpsons fans. From JoJo the Retard, we have one of the worst episodes ever. From Oli7765, just no. And from Andrew We Hunt, the episode is to The Simpsons what Archie Bunker's place was to All in the Family.
Harsh.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. Steve, what do we think of this episode now that we had almost 10 years to digest this?
Yeah.
So to come back, do you remember watching this when it originally aired?
Yes, I do. So this was difficult for me to review, to be honest, because I do remember, this usually isn't the case, but I do remember watching this when it was on live, which is difficult on the animator's hands. But at the time, I was with a I was dating a woman, and we took a premature for a relationship trip to Disneyland, and we didn't have a lot of money at the time, so we rented a really crappy motel room, and one of us liked to drink a lot more than the other, and the other person kind of went along with it. And so over the course of 48 hours, we drank 24 Budweisers and 2/5 of Jack Daniels at night. So we'd go early in the morning to Disneyland, spend like 4 hours there, and the rest of the day was just a drunken haze. And the last night there, we watched this episode, and we were so confused and angry with the episode and probably our relationship and probably the trip and probably all the things that this episode always left a sour taste in my mouth. And, you know, people have talked about this one for years. And I think before the Lady Gaga episode, which we have yet to review, this episode is kind of considered to be the nadir of The Simpsons, like one of the worst episodes ever. And, you know, it's not great, I'll admit. Mostly my problem with it is that everyone in it is so jerky and mean-spirited. Marge is selfish about, you know, wanting to fuck the professor. The professor's an asshole. And Homer's, you know, I get where he's coming from, but he's kind of a whiny dick in it too. So I think my biggest problem with it isn't the timeline, because I know that it's got to be fluid, especially in this day and age, but I think it's just the personalities of the protagonist and the antagonist in the episode. That being said, it was more enjoyable than I thought. I don't know that I'd recommend it, but it's not like awful. So, you know, there were three members of Nirvana. I'll give this a one. This is a Chris. I'll say this. Of members of Nirvana, this is a Chris Novoselic.
Yeah, this is no Dave Grohl.
No.
A Dave Grohl is a You Only Move Twice of Nirvana.
Yeah, I would say that the ranking, and, you know, internet and listeners, feel free to debate me. I think the top would be Dave Grohl, then Kurt Cobain, then Chris Novoselic. But that's just me.
Well, I mean, if Courtney Love didn't kill Kurt Cobain, you might be saying a different ranking, Steve.
Maybe, except for, like, I don't want to see, like, him play the hawk on the Masked Singer tonight. That'd
be hilarious. Kurt Cobain would have been a judge with Gwen Stefani on The Voice.
Yeah.
With and John Lennon, if he still was alive.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Oh, God.
And their host would have been Jim Morrison. all right, well, yeah, it's one of those like dreaded episodes just because there's so much baggage behind it, or, you know, just so much, I'm gonna say, hatred or, you know, disdain for this episode that many of the Simpsons fans have. And I've, you know, come to get rid of my angry comic book nerd boy rage in my soul these past couple of years, thanks to Star Wars fans for hating The Last Jedi and me being like, it's not bad.
It's honestly anyways, very healthy of you.
Yeah. So, and learning to love things that I used to shit on. And now it's like, it's art. It's someone's art. And I can't do any better than they did. So here we are. And I know we talk about like Matt Selman and a lot of his episodes, and there's always the Selman years everyone talks about. Yeah, there's things like just retooling the Simpsons history, and it had to be done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with that. And some of the jokes, you know, the 90s jokes that they made, like, haha, I get it. And they'll continue doing it, and I don't have a problem with it. Because we have those old episodes, Steve. Those always will be there. And so because of that, we can have like fun like fan theories like, well, maybe the Springfield exists in some sort of weird dimension where time moves slower than the rest of the world. Doesn't matter. It's a fucking cartoon, right?
Yeah.
But for like just looking at it as an episode of like the joke wise, and I think you're right, like the characters are kind of just jerks. And I feel like there is something there with like Marge in college. And I feel like this was kind of like it was too much of the easy trope of like Marge falling in love with a college professor. Cause like, I think every sitcom has always done this.
Yeah.
Where the female lead is like, has a crush on her. Saved by the Bell, the college years, there was a whole season of just Kelly in love with the professor and Zach trying to win her back. I'm not saying that Saved by the Bell, the college years is a far superior show. And the
but I will say that one of them had butt kiss and the other one didn't.
No, it was some other football player.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. You know, this episode, we've reviewed some that we don't like Great Fatsby, and of course, how could we forget Scorpion's Tale? Rock you like a hurricane. I think I would watch this over those episodes any day. But again, it's still not the best of episodes. And I guess there's the one thing that bothered me is just like the grandpa owning the laser tag thing. That's the only thing to me that I'm like, I don't understand why.
It is weird.
Because it's not character-like for Abe.
Right.
Is it worse than the Lady Gaga episode? I don't know. I mean, Steve, have we reached out to Lady Gaga yet to see if she wants to do the episode?
I'm waiting for her people to get back to my people.
Okay. I thought Hank Azaria playing Stefan did a great job, actually, like a character that you hate. So there you go.
That's fair.
This episode was a lot of Nirvana references. So yeah, let's say out of Nirvana albums, technically they only had 3 studio albums based on Wikipedia here. And that was Bleach, Nevermind, and Euro, and then Insecticide comes in compilation albums.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Let's just do it out of 3 then. I'll give this episode a 1.143786.
That's fair, if a little vague.
Steve, this is one of those episodes, do you think you'll go back to?
Yeah, I don't think I would. It was difficult for me to force myself to sit down and write notes for it. I'll say that. And then I found myself watching the first 10 minutes of it over and over again, and then getting annoyed slash bored, and then having to go back to it. So
okay, I have a fun troll thing that Matt Selman should do. Matt, if you're listening, which I know you are, you're always listening to this podcast.
We love your work, by the way.
Yeah. I don't think we mention it much, but we do. Here's my pitch. Do a That 2000 Show, just to piss everyone off, and have it just copy the same script, but instead of Homer in a grunge band, he's in a boy group. Because that was kind of the start. Well, the 90s was boy groups too, but
he could be a dubstep artist.
There you go. Do That 2010s Show. So there's this whole gap that Lisa brings up, that of there was 10 years where we don't really know your history. I have a weird pitch, Steve.
Okay.
It might not work, but maybe just set it in current times, but have the misadventures of Homer and Marge before the kids, and make a Disney Plus limited
a 6 series run,
or right? 6 episode run. Yeah, but make it cover those years, or make it a multiverse thing, because everyone's all into this multiverse now. So make it make one season of the actual 70s Marge and Homer, then do the 80s and the 90s, the 2000s before the kids, so they could do all these silly jokes, or just show young Springfield, you know.
I like that.
Maybe it could work as a little mini series. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Just to sum things up, is that 90s episode as bad as we thought it would be, Steve, for our 90th episode?
I don't know. It's bad, but I don't think it's that bad.
No, it doesn't need all the hate that that we gave it back in the day.
I think that's what I learned from it, is that, it is a piece of art. It needs to be reviewed on its own merits. And, it's not the best episode ever, but it's what it is, and it's okay.
All right. That being said, I think just watch it if you want to, guys.
Yeah.
But at least we got to do this episode on our 90th episode. So, Steve, let's find out what we're watching next week.
All righty. And to do that, we're going to need that Wheel of Random.
We got season 21.
Season 21. Alrighty, let's spin for the episode.
We have episode 6.
Season 21, episode 6. That's called Pranks and Greens. What happens in that, Craig?
Well, Principal Skinner tells Bart that there's a former Springfield Elementary student hailed as the best prankster ever. Bart tracks down that prankster, guessed by Jonah Hill.
Ooh.
And that character apparently is 19 years old. Steve originally aired on November 22nd, 2009. Written by Jeff Westbrook, directed by Chuck Sheets. I actually remember this episode.
I kind of do too. I know I've seen it. I don't exactly remember it, but I do have some memory.
You know what? I think it's going to be, I'll predict this. I think it's going to be a Diggs episode. Do you remember Diggs, Steve?
I do remember Diggs.
That was about a year ago that we reviewed that episode. That I liked it, you didn't. The only reason I remember that is because Instagram popped up and said, look back on this memory, and it was the Diggs episode that was released.
I would say probably our most divisive episode.
But yeah, looking forward to watching this. And maybe Jonah Hill will be a guest on this podcast to talk about it.
Maybe.
But we might have to cut him for time like we do with all of our guests.
It's true.
All right. Well, we got a TeePublic site. It's TeePublic.com/user/annoyedcrumpboys. And you can contact us on social media at 13simpsons on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
And you can always email us at 13simpsons@gmail.com. And if you're so kind, go to your favorite podcasting app and leave us 5 stars and the or the equivalent thereof. And if you want to leave a review, but you don't have to write a real review, why don't you just tell us your favorite album from the 90s?
All right, for this week, I've been half an annoyed grunt boy, Craig.
And I've been your other half annoyed grunt boy, Steve.
And remember, keep watching the skis.
And vote.
Townies.